Hold up your Bibles if you have them. God, I love you and I thank you for your word. As I think about the writing of your word, that you empowered men to sit down, carried along by the Spirit of Almighty God, to write down the words of heaven. God, every time that we open the Bible, God, we are literally reading the words of God to mankind. God, I can never get that thought out of my head. And so I pray, God, that it becomes a thought of each one of us as we walk on, as we hear the word, as we listen to the word, and as we contemplate the word of God for our lives, remembering that it was you who spoke them from the throne room of heaven to us, to our hearts, to help change our lives forever. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. If you want to turn in your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, that's in the New Testament. It's one of Paul's writings, about halfway through the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're entering the Thanksgiving season. How many of you are excited about Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Well, I know you're excited about some turkey and some stuff and all that good stuff. I love to eat, so it's one of my favorite pastimes. And as you can tell, my stuffed physique. I just love Thanksgiving. I love what it represents. I love what it's all about. And Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, be thankful in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. How many of you are thankful in all circumstances?
Amen.
Some of us, we like to be thankful when the circumstances are good. I'm thankful when stuff's going my way. I'm thankful when the boss likes me. I'm thankful when I've had a great week at work. I'm thankful when the wife and I are getting along. I'm thankful when the kids are behaving and the dog ain't peeing on the floor. But what about the reverse? What about when all those things go south? Are you still something? The word thankful, as used by Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, is the Greek word eucharisteo, and it means to be grateful. So today and next week, I'm going to talk to you about a grateful heart. And what does a grateful heart look like? And how can we have a grateful heart in all circumstances? How many of you love Thanksgiving? Everybody loves Thanksgiving? Let me ask you this. How many of you have something to be thankful for? Anybody, you got something to be thankful for? Only a few of y'all. Lots to be thankful for. I love sharing this story. I was a youth pastor. This is 15 years ago. And I asked my youth group. I said, hey, you guys want to have a youth group on the Wednesday night, the day before Thanksgiving? And several of them said yes. And I said, okay, you know what we'll do is we'll have pizza and we'll just have fellowship and we'll talk about the things we're thankful for. So we sat around, it's about 8 or 10 kids that night, and we had pizza and we're talking about all the things we're thankful for. And there's this one little girl, she was just kind of like on the outskirts. You know, she was just one of those kids who was not very popular. She didn't have lots of friends. And I just saw her just contemplating and thinking about the question, what do I have to do? And she looked up at me and she said, and I'll never forget it, it just impacted me in such a powerful way. She said, well, I'm thankful for my friend. And she named this girl at school. She said, without this girl, I would eat lunch alone every day. And here I am, thankful for my beautiful wife. I'm thankful for my kids. I'm thankful for my health and all the blessings. And this little girl's thankful for one little girl who made her life full every day. Just so I didn't have to eat alone. Changed everything. That's a perspective, right? Instead of bemoaning at the fact that she only had one friend, she was rejoicing that she had one friend. And so often we will get to the point where we're bemoaning the fact that we don't have more instead of just rejoicing in the fact of what we already have. I call it the Adam and Eve syndrome. Out. Look out into the garden. You can eat from any tree. Look at all those trees full of fruit. Any tree. It's all yours. They're all good for food. They all taste delicious. It's all yours. Just don't eat from that one. What's the one thing that that I don't want to. What's the one thing that humankind does? We tend to focus on the one thing that we don't have instead of all that God has provided us with. I remember the year I got saved, 1999. My uncle, right after I got saved, I had an uncle who was diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumor, and he was told by a doctor to go home and get his affairs in order. He would be dead in 6 months. My uncle was an atheist. He was devastated. Oh my God. His entire life was lived for the stuff that he owned. His houses and his rental properties and all the things that he had acquired in this life. And so the fact that a doctor was telling him that he had less than 6 months to live, that he needed to get his things in order because he would be leaving this place, it rocked his world. Well, the believers in my family began to pray and began to seek the heart of God and began to pray against this cancer. I watched my uncle go to the doctor visit after visit, and the doctors were puzzled. We don't know what's happening, but that cancer is shrinking. We don't know why. We don't know how. And what was causing even him to be blind in his left eye, his eyesight was now being restored. They couldn't. There's no medical explanation. Still an atheist. Still living 20 years later. Says, and the same doctors who told you you were gonna die to get your affairs in order, you're thanking them. How about the one who healed you? And so a few years later, we were at a Thanksgiving dinner at my family's house. And we were going around the table because it was our tradition to talk about the things that we were thankful for on Thanksgiving Day. Isn't it a shame that we just wait for Thanksgiving Day to talk about the things we're thankful for? You know, I tell you, I'm thankful for y'all. I'm thankful for my friends. I'm thankful for people that I get to do life with. I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for you people. I'm thankful for you watching me online. The fact that somebody would turn me online is just absolutely mind-boggling to me. That somebody, if you've got something better to do, obviously, than what. But thank you for watching. You know, I'm thankful. And I'm thankful every day I wake up. And I think, you know, I was riding in the car just the other day, and I start crying. And I'm like, I'm just thankful. Like, God has been so good. Undeservingly good to us. I can't put it into words how good God has been, because listen, and we don't have everything we want. You know. But I got everything I need. And I realize how good God has been. 20 years later, my uncle's still alive and still refuses to believe. God did it. I saw things from that instance in his life and in our lives completely different. Isn't it funny that two people can go through the same event and see things completely different? Me and my family, we believe it. Look what God did. And yet the one whose life was spared, the one who has lived through it, his eyesight's restored, he's still living, he's in his 80s now, and still refuses to believe that it was God. I hope you're watching today. I've actually made this statement before, and I've told it to my wife, I've told it publicly. You know that what Jesus has already done for me is more than enough. And you know, I've said this before, and I mean this, and I'm just saying it publicly. If God never does another thing for me, what he did on Calvary's cross was more than enough. It was more than enough to carry me the rest of this life and into eternal life. And I'm going to go into eternity because of what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. It's a great gift. There's a story in the New Testament about some people, three guys, that were given much, and all of them showed different ways of thanksgiving. Some were thankful, some were ungrateful. If you would turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 25, this is a story that we'll be talking about today. This is a parable that Jesus used to describe the kingdom of God to his disciples as he was teaching them about what the kingdom was like. And going on a journey, he called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, and to another 2, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one who had 2 bags gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. And after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who received the 5 bags of gold brought the other 5 and said, "Master, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold, and see, I've gained you 5 more." And his master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." And the man who received the 2 bags of gold also came, and he said, "Master, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold, and see, I've gained you 2 more." And his master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." And then the man who received the 1 bag came and said, "Master, I know that you're a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And so I was afraid, and I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." And his master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has been given more will be given, will have an abundance, and whoever does not have even what they have will be taken from them." It's a great story, a great parable Jesus told about what the kingdom of God must be like or should be like. And Jesus is relaying the story of the master leaving on a long journey, leaving his servants in charge of his great wealth, which is exactly the way we come to Jesus. I don't know about you, but when I came to Jesus, I came like this. I got nothing. This is what I have to give you. I want you to understand something right now. You don't have something that Jesus needs. You don't have some special talents and gifts, and you're so great and perfect, and I really got to have you in the kingdom. I got to have you on my team. No, he wants you on the team, but he doesn't need you on the team. And when we come, we bring nothing to the table except our willingness to use what we've been given. And we get to use it for his glory, or we get to squander it and bury it in the ground like the wicked, lazy servant. Now, it is said, I want you to get your head around this, that the amounts of money that was given to those servants would have equaled, 1 bag of gold would have equaled 20 years of a day's wage. So the man who received the 5 bags of gold would have had 100 years worth of a day's wage. The one who received the two bags would have received 40 years of a day's wage. And the one who received the 1, still 20 years of a day's wage. And yet, the 5 bag of gold guy was very grateful, was thankful that he had been trusted with so much. And so he didn't take that for granted. He took it out and he made it work, and he made sure that the master got glory for what he had given. The 2 bag of gold guy went out and he said, "Man, I'm so thankful for what I have, and I'm going to make sure that the master gets back not just what he gave me, but more." And he brought back double. And the one who received the 1 was just that ungrateful type of human being. Instead of looking at the 20 years of wages that he was given, he starts looking at the master. You know, the master, he's not really fair. He didn't trust me with 5. He didn't trust me with 2. He only gave me 1. And that's what we do so often. Well, why does God bless them and not me? Why is he blessing you? Well, why can't I have that? Well, according to the word we just read, he said he gave to each according to his ability. If you don't have the blessings maybe that you think you want, maybe it's because you haven't been trustworthy with the little bit that you've been given. Just the thing that you might find in the scripture. See, when things are going well, and our plans and our ideas succeed, we tend to think that things are great. The problem is when things are not going well, when things are not going according to our plans, when we don't feel like we're being treated fairly, we begin to look at the master. Well, God, why aren't you blessing me? How could this happen to me? I deserve it. He had enough for 20 years to live off of. And so often in our society today, God gives his creation, right? All sorts of gifts. The minute you get saved, the minute you give your life to Jesus, you know what he does? He puts his spirit in you. And with his spirit comes spiritual gifts. And in those spiritual gifts are things to be used for his glory. Not for you to bury in the ground. Not for you to squander on the earth. Now I want you to know, he also gives you his favor. Then his favor could produce for you 100 years worth of a day's wages. His favor could produce 40 years of a day's wage. And I want you to understand, a day's wage, according to today's math, that would have been, the money that man would have been given would have been in the millions of dollars. And instead of looking at it as only what he had, he looked at it as all that he had. We have to understand what we have. Listen, ungrateful people tend to stay ungrateful because their perspective's all wrong. They're looking at things completely wrong. Ungrateful people are always looking at what everyone else has that they know. Ungrateful people never see what they have as enough. Always want more. Their name's Jimmy. If your name's Jimmy, then you're sorry. Gimme, my name's Jimmy. Ungrateful people are of the mindset that they're owed something. It's called entitlement. I owe it because I breathe. I'm owed this because of this or because of that. God doesn't owe you anything, right? This world doesn't owe you anything. Ungrateful people look at the giver of the gift as faulty. The grateful people realize the greatness of the gift. How many of you go back to the day you were saved and realize the greatness of the gift? I go back to the day I was saved and I realize the greatness of the gift every day. And like I said a few minutes ago, if he never gives me another thing on this earth, what I have is enough to carry me not just to eternity, but into eternity to live forever, right? Because he's a great giver. He entrusted his wealth to them. God entrusted his wealth to us. He put his spirit to live inside of you. What kind of house are you providing? Is he living in a lean-to? Or have you the ability to handle what he was giving them? How do you suppose that happened? You know how that happened? There are lives that they have been given. And he watched the way how responsible they were. And so the man who had five, obviously he had watched him many times. He had watched the way he handled, trust him. You know, sometimes we bemoan the fact that you've given. When I first started the church, and we were just this young startup church, we had nothing, but no money, and not on a dollar. So he had a friend. I said, well, we're tithing on a dollar. When you win the millions, it's going to be real hard. Learn to be faithful with the little before you can be faithful with a lot. The servant of the five bags of gold, that 100 years worth of salary, could have sat back, enjoyed, and trusted. I've been given stewardship over somebody else's goods, over somebody else. He did it so you could bring somebody else with you. The second thing that grateful people do is they go to the two bag of gold guy. They probably look at the master, man, this guy is so generous. Look what he did. 20 years worth of wages. He started looking at the master as being faulty. He started looking at a fair man, and you're this and you're that. Take care of me, and I'm going to take care of him. And I'm going to make sure that when he comes back, I want you to know he's coming back. The master's coming back to settle accounts. I'm ready to receive my rewards when he comes back. You know why? Because I'm testifying to the goodness of the master. To the good that you have, you know what will happen? You'll have more to testify. Always want to give back. Look what they said. The man gave five more. You gave me five. But I witness to the world around us. There's a world out there dying. You need to think, hey, Jesus, look what I did. Look at all these people I took. Look, I witnessed it, and I made sure that they knew who you were, and I testified about who you were and what you've done in my life, and I want to give it back to you. One day, he was just ungrateful. He didn't think much of the gift, so he wasted it. What if we treat him? I'm good. I can live my life like I want because I'm saved. I don't know about you. I want to hear those words when I get there. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with the few things that I've given you. Come and share in your master's happiness on streets of gold with a mansion with my name on it, right? Well done. And finally, grateful people will continue to prosper. Oh, when you see the people who are grateful, you wonder, why are they so blessed? Because they make sure that the master gets all the credit. They make sure the master is always known for what he's done. Look what it says in verse 29, Matthew 25, 29. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what they have will be taken from them. Brag on God and watch what will happen in your life. When you brag on God and all he's done and continues to do, you know what he does? Gives you more to brag about. Anybody seen the Disney movie Aladdin? I love Aladdin. I love the genie, right? What did the genie tell Aladdin? You ain't seen nothing yet. I can see God say, you think this is good? Wait till you see what's next. He keeps telling me that, by the way, as every day when I go to the building. And I praise him and I thank him for that building and all that he's doing over there. And he said, you think this is good? Just wait. You think this is good? Oh, just wait. It's coming. That even more is coming. I mean, Lord, I don't even need more. This is more than enough. And Jerry says, please open me another project to work on. Jerry, get ready. You're the full-time superintendent. God will tell you, like he told the genie, you ain't seen nothing. Listen, if you want to live in that abundant life of Christ that Jesus paid for, then start living a life of gratitude right now for the little bit that you've been given. And watch what God will do. Quit looking around at the things you don't have. And start being thankful for the little that you do. If your husband ain't all that you want him to be, guess what? Thank you, God, for it. Oh, God, I thank you for it. Just find out one thing he does really good. God, he's the best grass cutter I know. I just love the way he cuts the grass. He makes the lines in the grass. It's so perfect. So thankful for my husband, the grass cutter. Maybe your wife ain't the best housekeeper. Boy, she puts the toilet paper on correctly. From the top, over the top, right? And I know God, I'm thankful. Everybody wants to get a gift, get a nerve or something. But I'm thankful that she at least puts the toilet paper on right. You gotta find the one thing, right? And just start thanking God for what you have. You know what'll happen? That husband all of a sudden, he'll be always be cutting the grass, he'll be cleaning the house, he'll be doing all that. Look, who you think that's good in New York? Wait till you see how I do the carpet. I'm going to leave my lines in the carpet too. Will the grateful people please stand at your feet this morning? And here's the question. Will you be the kind of and the not so good ones? Grateful people, remember these four things. Realize the greatness of the gift. They realize that the gift testifies to the goodness of the master. They always want to give back, and they will continue to prosper. Would you bow your heads with me? God, I just come this morning just with a grateful, happy, overflowing heart because of your goodness, your love, your grace and mercy that is poured out upon our lives. God, your word even tells us that that crying may happen, mourning may happen for a night, but joy comes in the morning. God, we're thankful that even though we go through tough times, dark times, seasons of our life, that we wonder if you're there, God, we can know for a fact that you are. Your word testifies that you will never leave nor forsake us, that you will be with us no matter where we go and no matter what it is that we are in or involved in or with, you're there. God, I pray that we become a people, not just during this Thanksgiving season, but God, for every season of our lives, to testify to the fact that you are a good, good Father, that you have given us good gifts. And God, as we begin to testify to the goodness of the gifts that you've already given, we'll continue to watch the good things that you're going to do, continue to do in our lives. In Jesus' name, everybody say, amen. Hey, would you